ready to get serious about building content sites and building a profitable business online? Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. We bring you the latest field-tested tips, tricks, and strategies for building a profitable online asset. We interview industry experts, share customer success stories, and reveal our own experiences working on hundreds of sites to inspire and motivate you to make something happen. Let's do this.
Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Show. Today, I speak with Stacey Caprio. Stacey has an entrepreneurship blog over at her.ceo, where she talks about building profitable content sites. So she, you know, generally, historically, she's bought sites most commonly from Flipper. She's grown those sites, and some she's kept over time, and some she's sold. So she, you know, used to have a day job that she didn't really get on with. She just didn't get on with, working for somebody else, always wanted to work in her own free time. And so she, you know, whilst she was working, she kind of built her business up on the side. And once she had enough money to kind of, to then break away and kind of do her own thing, she then focused on that full time. She lived with her grandma for a little while she did that. So it's a really interesting kind of story. And now she makes a decent income. She has around 8 websites that she's kind of working on. And she, you know, what's interesting about Stacey is she's kind of mixing up her revenue stream. She's predominantly worked with ads historically, but now she's building an e-commerce site and also a lead gen site. So yeah, we get through quite a lot, talking about her journey and kind of how she made it out of her cubicle and managed to, you know, work on her sites full time. So with that, I'll move straight onto the show. I hope you enjoy it.
This episode is brought to you by Niche Website Builders, an agency dedicated to helping people just like you build profitable content sites. Niche Website Builders are the hands-off content site marketing agency you always wished existed. It's run by content site marketers for content site marketers, and they help both investors and individuals alike build profitable online properties. They provide a fully outsourced approach to content creation, link building, and done-for-you website builds, the same approach they use on their own six-figure portfolios. For example, their content packages come with a proprietary keyword research process, are written by in-house native English speakers, formatted using templates proven to convert, and uploaded to WordPress with affiliate links added so that all you need to do is hit the publish button. Check them out at nichewebsite.builders/show. That's nichewebsite.builders/show, and fill out the form to get coupon codes for 10% more content or a 10% discount on links with your first order sent right to your inbox.
Welcome to the Niche Website Builder Show. Today, I'm speaking with Stacey Caprio. Stacey blogs over at her.seo, where she documents her journey making money from content sites. Stacey buys, grows, and sells websites, and is now lucky enough to be able to do that full time. So we're going to be talking today about how she's able to do that and make that transition from a real job. Welcome, Stacey.
Hi, Mark. Thank you so much for having me.
no problem at all. Really nice to have you on. You're in Chicago, right?
Currently in Chicago. You can kind of see some of the buildings in the background, but I love the view of living here with all the pretty buildings.
Yeah, you're right in town by the looks of it.
Yeah, and you were saying your wife used to live here for a little bit after she graduated college.
She did. She was in Evanston, for around 6 months of her life. But yeah, I went and visited her when she was out there. So been to Chicago too, really liked it, went and visited the museum, and if that's still there. It was quite a long time ago now, so it's probably changed quite a bit. But
Which museum? The Art Institute? Or?
There's that one. Yeah, I went to that. And then the Space Museum? Am I making that up?
There are a handful of others, like the Shedd Aquarium and a different one. But yeah, possibly. I've never been to all of them, so.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a nice place. I went in like March, April kind of time. And it was, um, It snowed like really heavy. But I noticed, all I remember always is the heaters that they've got on the railway stations, right? You can just like go and stand under a heater. You can turn it on and stand under a heater.
I love those. And they put those in restaurants sometimes, which makes it fun. Like you get the warm heater.
It was strange. It was because of the time of year, like I think it was snowed. And then like literally the next day it was sunbathing on the beach. It was the weather was like really nice, but there was snow like around everywhere. But it was really hot. So
that's Chicago for you. Yeah.
Cool. Thanks for coming on. I think it'd be really good to hear a little bit about yourself and kind of your background. I know that you blog over at Her CEO now. But you're documenting your journey there. But like, it'd be really good to kind of hear, you know, where it all began and kind of what brought you into this world.
I graduated from Boston College in 2014. So quite a long time ago at this point, it's like 7 years ago. And I had my first job at an e-commerce marketing agency. I helped run paid ads and for small local e-commerce businesses. And then I moved into running similar paid ads for venture-funded companies at a different agency. So I really have a strong agency background in paid ads, interestingly enough. And then I moved into an individual role at a financial services company doing their marketing and paid ads. And the whole time I enjoyed parts of my job and I loved the learning parts and I loved the analytics and the tracking and I loved seeing results. So that's what's really great about paid ads is because you put money in and you get to see clicks and traffic so quickly and then you get to see the results and you get to see the revenue. So for me, I love seeing the input and then you get the revenue and the conversion sales output. So I think that's something that I've always enjoyed. And I think probably most online marketers love seeing that direct correlation and paid ads make it so easy to see that on a consistent basis and so quickly. So that's kind of where I got my love for online marketing. But the whole time I knew that I hated having my life controlled by someone else and going into the office, like having to be there at the 8:30 or 9 a.m. each day. And then if you leave your desk for any reason, your boss asks you about it. Or I remember I was taking my lunch breaks away from my desk at my first job and my boss pulled me aside on our one-on-one. He said, "I've noticed you're leaving your desk for your lunch breaks." And I said, "Yeah, I am." And he said, "You should be, most of us just bring lunch and then we sit at our desk and work while we eat lunch." And he said that to me.
Oh my gosh.
So I just knew that it was more of like you're being chained to your desk and you're not having the freedom. If you even want to go on vacation or if you need a doctor's appointment, you need to get permission. People are always watching you. You're kind of like chained to your desk area. And for me, I've always liked the freedom of being able to walk outside in the middle of the day, run outside, direct my own business, just direct my life and my day to day, but also being able to see the input. It's like when you do the online marketing for a company and you help them grow, you don't get to see that reflected in your own salary. It's still a fun game, but I like it how what we do, we get to see what we put in reflected in our own salary too. And also just choosing each day to day and choosing our projects is really fulfilling and rewarding. I think choosing the direction of each day for me is actually more fulfilling and rewarding than the money itself, although I've made so much more each year and overall than I ever could have had the potential to make in my 9-to-5. So I think you kind of get the best of both worlds. But for me, the autonomy is actually more important than the money.
Yeah. Yeah. So that sounded like no wonder you wanted to get out and get out of the job. And I don't know what it's like in the US, but kind of there's kind of like regulations about like being allowed to have kind of breaks and be able to like actually like leave your desk for a certain period of time.
That's interesting. You guys probably have more regulations. Although I have to say I was spoiled still with my jobs. It's like I was only 8 hours a day and I know people who do like finance jobs where they're working so much longer or other things. But interesting. Yeah, I don't think we have as many labor laws, so they can keep you at your desk longer.
Yeah. I can't even remember what it is, but you need to have a break every kind of 4 hours or something like that. It is like, it's kind of a thing.
How long of a break? Like 15 minutes or?
I think, you know what? I don't even know. We let like kind of HR and contracts kind of sort that thing out. But I think because normally 4 hours you have lunch anyway. So you have kind of like an hour. So I think
okay. Yeah.
You know, because like we've got an hour a day and you have 4 hours, like an hour lunch and then 4 hours again kind of thing. So, but I think it's only half an hour that is kind of by law. You need to take as a break. But yeah. Cool. So, yeah. So you kind of moved out, you kind of left that job and, well, you did leave that job, but how did you leave that job? Did you leave it before you were making any money online, or were you making money online first and earn enough to replace your salary? How did that go?
Yeah. So the 15 minute lunch break job, that was my first job. So I left that one a little after a year to work at the other agency. And then I left that one, and the financial services company was a lot more lenient and they let me have more breaks and that type of thing. But I still didn't like having my time controlled by having to be in the office for all that time. And I had started actually, so I was reading Spencer's blog, Niche Pursuits blog, as we were talking about before, and reading a bunch of other types of online blogs and really getting a feel for that world. At the time I was in my third job, I hadn't even really heard of it before then. And I read the Flip a Blog post on the Spencer's Niche Pursuits blog. And that was the first time I'd ever heard of Flippa. So that's really what inspired me to buy my first website. And I bought my first three sites actually while I was still at my 9-to-5. I think I liked having the guaranteed income and just using my savings to purchase the sites, because I felt that even before, I just felt safer that way knowing I had money coming in. My first site purchase didn't work out. The person had lied about how much revenue it was making. He said it was making $350 profit a month when it was actually making $20 to $50 profit a month. And I bought this one for $1,300, and it ended up not working out for me just because it wasn't as making as much money as he said, although it was nice to see my first affiliate commission come in, and I realized that it was all possible through using that site. So I took a few month break after that from buying websites, but I was still reading everything. And I bought my second site, which was much more expensive. And I knew I could quickly double the ad revenue by switching ad networks on this one. So I did that, and it did actually double. This one was making $500 a month, and I was able to double it to be making $1,000 a month. So I was like, oh, this is great. This is so easy. And I love this. And then it was actually an app. It was like a fad. So the traffic declined severely after a few months of owning it. So yeah, I made back probably 80% or so, but not the whole thing even. But I kept going because at this point I really saw the potential, because when you start making that much a month and you just realize what's possible. So I was still at my job and I bought my third site. And this one ended up being very successful. It made back everything I'd spent on sites and more, a bit more. And that one I made a 400% return on, and I was making $1,000 a month with that site by the time I left my job. So it definitely wasn't replacing my salary, but I knew that it was what I wanted to do, because at that point, walking into work, I would dread walking up the steps, and I would just say, and it wasn't even a horrible job for me. I think it was just the freedom and the restrictions, but I just knew it was time mentally. So I actually was able to live with my grandma, who, she's 95 now, and she was 91 when I made this decision. And she said, yeah, Stacy, you can come live with me, and you don't have to pay your rent and everything. So if you want to build your dream. And she was so supportive. So I was able to, I was like, okay, so that's why I'm in Chicago, because she lives in LaGrange Park, actually. So I went there and I lived with her, and I was making $1,000 a month from my third site purchase still. And then I was building, I actually do a t-shirt business too. And I still have an Etsy shop called Stacy's Shirt Shop. And so that's, I was doing that. My mom is an artist. She used to be an artist in Chicago. So she does my drawings, and I do the keyword research and do Amazon merch and Etsy and all of those types of things. So that was bringing in income, and that actually got up to $3,000 a month at one point. But then you really have to pour designs. It's never ending pouring designs in. So I kind of let that fall off, but I still do it a little and just get the commissions from everything. That was one of my focuses. But then I bought my fourth site when I was living with my grandma, and that was the one that enabled me to be financially independent. It was making $1,800 a month when I bought it, and I bought it at a 10 times multiple. And then I was able to grow it, and I just kept doing keyword research and adding content over time. And so it just kept increasing in revenue. And so that's what enabled me a year later to feel very confident and comfortable leaving my grandma's and then moving into my apartment in Chicago in the city. And it was actually, it's pretty much the one that I had like on my vision board that I would like visualize. And then I just found it. It was such a coincidence how I ended up finding it, but it's really cool how I was able to go from my 9-to-5 to being given the chance to work on it while living with my grandma without having to go into debt or losing money each month. And then ending up in my dream vision board apartment. I think it reminds me each day how powerful our minds are to just shape our own reality, because you picture something and then you're able to work toward it. And then all of a sudden you're living on like in your vision board, which is really cool.
That's awesome. That is awesome. I love that. I can almost see you like having a drawing of a picture sitting exactly where you are now, like the skyscrapers in the background.
I have a vision board even today. I love that type of thing. I think it's really powerful.
What's next? What's the next apartment?
What's my next apartment in your vision board? I'm moving to Austin, Texas in October when my lease is up, because I have other family there, and it just seems like a place where I want to spend more time long term. And I was here because of my grandma, but I will be there. I don't know if my apartment will be quite as beautiful there, but I'll try another vision board. I think I love floor to ceiling windows, so those will probably be on my vision board. But I actually don't have an apartment on my current vision board because like my current apartment, I suppose.
Yeah, you're already there.
Yeah.
Cool. So I got so many questions like about that stuff. So, well, first of all, like, how cool is your grandma?
Yeah, she's so awesome.
That's just awesome. Like, especially, in her 90s as well. That's just awesome. So,
she's so healthy too, and just so vibrant and engaged and smart mentally too. So I love seeing her as like a role model in life. Like, I hope I'm half as energetic as she is when I'm her age.
So you had her doing keyword research in the evening.
Oh yeah, doing all the heavy lifting. I was like, Grandma, you go do that.
Cool. I mean, and so that first site you bought, like, given today's like multipliers, like, it wasn't far short, right? Of like probably what you would pay for it today, right?
It was like 35 to 60 times, pretty much like $20 to $50. So good mental math there, but it pretty much was. But he was, since he lied about it to me, I was making $350. Yeah. And then at the time, the going rate was like 20 times multiple. But it's crazy to think that people would actually buy that today completely. They would just buy it. Yeah.
That's second thought. Yeah. And I mean, I guess that was the first red flag, right? It's like, you're going to get your money back in like 4 months. So I guess you just don't know when you're first starting out though. But it's too good to be true, really, right?
I had no idea. I think I was going into it just completely blind, and I didn't even know how to really verify revenue and traffic. And I didn't know the industry standards for that type of thing. So I think it was getting 100 or so visits a day. And I saw that in the analytics. And I had no idea, like, oh, if it's getting 100 visits a day and Amazon Associates, like, however, if it was like 5% or 8% commission at the time, and then you think about the conversion rates, and if you just think about it logically, it would have been like, oh, there's no way it's making $400. Because, I mean, every visit would have to be making so much more than it was, than affiliate commissions would make. So it's one of those things where if I'd even had the experience of running my own site, making like $1 a month, I would have known it was a fraud. But I think it's something you have to learn through experience. And I think I was really desperate at that time to leave my job. So I was kind of willing to believe almost anything just to try, like a fairy tale, to get out of my position.
And was that, did you get that from Flipper or was that somewhere else?
Yeah, I've actually bought all my sites except one on Flipper. So that one was. Okay.
And even the most recent one was a 10x multiplier. Like, how long ago was that? I mean, that, how did you manage that? I want to know your secret.
I know. I've been actually very fortunate with some of my multiples. It was a site that was on Flipper and it was an expired listing. It had actually never sold. And the guy had listed it 4 years before I had contacted him. And I was searching through like the older listings that had never sold. And I saw it and I thought, oh, that one looks really cool. And it was actually in the listing, it was making more than it was making currently. So when I messaged him and I said, hey, can you add me to analytics? I'd love to see your site and I'm interested in it. And he added me and he said, yeah, it's making less now. So I looked at it and I still liked it. So I think it was hit with a penalty or something. But so it was a penalty and it was an expired listing. And I was messaging him years after. And he was actually getting ready to retire. So I think it was just a combination of all those things where he wanted that, like a little bit of a cash influx. He had the site. It wasn't making as much as it used to be making. And he didn't want to be working on it anymore. So I think it was just kind of a handful of fortunate events where he said, you know what, I want this cash to retire and I'll just give her the site at the 10X, and probably because it was penalized too, but it ended up being okay and it was able to grow. So I was just very fortunate in that way. I think getting a site in today's market at a 10x multiple is probably a little far-fetched.
Going through the expired listings on Flipper, maybe
if you go through maybe if a site doesn't sell the first time around, the owner is going to be more willing to offer you a deal or negotiate.
Yeah, quite. I'd love to come back to that site in a sec. But you said you mentioned about the site that you had that was an app, which was the fad.
Oh yeah. App.
And you said you managed to double revenue. What sort of time period did it take you to double that revenue? Because you said it lost traffic pretty quick. And what did you do to double the revenue in that time?
It was a super quick switch actually to get it doubled. So when I bought it, it was making the $500 a month and it was running on Google AdSense. So what I did was it had quite a bit of traffic. So I was able to apply for Monumetric Ads, a free publisher ad program. And because I'd talked with them and I knew what their average RPMs were in those certain areas, so I thought it would be a good fit. And that's when... So it actually took like probably 2 weeks to get approved. So I did have like a 2 week lag period, but then right when I switched it up, like a week or two later, so I suppose probably a month total, the revenue at that point was making pretty much double. So it took probably a month to get that implemented, to get the approval and then to get the ads on the site and then to ramp it up. So it was making more, but then for the next like 3 or 4 months, it was making like double, and then it kind of started to slide and it was still making, and then it just kind of slid off to where it wasn't at all. So it was a little heartbreaking.
So is the app dead today now? The app doesn't exist today.
I suppose I can just tell you the app because I'm not really making money from it anymore at all. So it was the WordWhizzle app. Have you heard of that?
No.
I think it's a I've never even played it even after I bought the site. It's right. Like a word game app or a picture app or something. I think it's a word game app. It might still exist, but if it does, it's not very popular. Like, it doesn't get any traffic. So I wouldn't recommend building a site around it at this point. Yeah, my site was actually, it was like an answer app, I think. So it helped people get the answers
to the puzzles, right?
Yeah.
Cool. And so so this site that you bought for, that was making $1,800 a month, kind of how was that making its revenue? Like, what was the revenue streams on that?
So that one was purely ad-based revenue, and I actually used only AdSense on it. I just played around. I added a few more ads when I bought it and tested a few different placements, but purely just ad-based AdSense. And then I focused on growing the traffic from there to help keep increasing the revenue. This site had a pretty good RPM, so growing traffic even a little bit meant the revenue would go up a lot. So it was pretty fortunate that I was able to find that niche without really trying to.
Yeah. And so what happened to that long term? Do you still have that site, or is it?
That's the site that's making the most in my portfolio even today. So it was a good purchase in that sense. It's made itself back like many, many times over. And it's just, it's definitely my favorite site. And that's probably why I haven't bought as many other sites because I was just able to focus on that site as opposed to pouring profits back into different sites, which I know some people like to do as well.
So how have you managed to grow revenue on that site? Are you working on it quite actively, or?
Yeah, I'm working on a few other projects more. I've kind of let it just bring in money on its own, but I was able to grow the revenue substantially on that site. It did actually drop. I grew it very, very substantially, but then it dropped quite a bit in the December update of this past year. So it's definitely not making anywhere near as it was, but it still is making quite a bit and more than all my other sites.
So you grew it a lot and then it kind of got kicked back a bit.
Yeah, because I think it was hit with the kind of affiliate type update, because it was one of those pages where it was it was more of a gateway page site in a lot of ways. So in the sense where it wasn't the final destination, even though it was ad-based, if that makes sense, it supported other types of content. So I think it was hit with that penalty. I'm not entirely sure, but
So how many sites do you have in altogether right now?
I have probably 8 sites. I created a few of my own as well. And I recently created an e-commerce site. And I also just bought an expired domain off of Odie's. So I'm testing growing that. And this is in a lead gen niche, but I just started. So I had to, it's a lead gen niche that has a lot of regulation. So I had to get licensed. I had to get apply for different types of things to even set it up, which I think is actually kind of good, because I think that it won't have as much competition, because who's going to go through all the work of like all these different steps? Like, I've had so many steps. I had to take tests and do all this stuff. So I think most people aren't going to go through the work. So I'm not going to be competing with SEOs. I'm just going to be competing with regular people who set up this type of business. So I have like 2 more licensing steps in this to get it fully approved, and then I'll have it set up. So those are my 2 newest sites, and I've created the e-commerce one and then bought the other one off of Odie's and have been building it up. And then I have some older sites that I created, and then the ones that I've bought, and I sold my 3rd site, which was my first successful site. So I don't own that anymore either, but I do have quite a few. Like, I have a handful of sites, so I try to give them each a little bit of time, especially the newer ones, because I want to grow them, hopefully.
Cool. So it sounds like you've got quite a diverse kind of type, you know, different types of sites with different kind of revenue models. You've got your lead gen and now e-commerce, and you've got your ad revenue. So it sounds like you're kind of dipping your toes into lots of different things. Have you built a lead gen or an e-commerce site before, or these will be your first ones?
These will be my first ones. Like you, I've mostly done the ad-based sites, and obviously my first one was affiliate, but I found the most success with my two best sites from Flippa were both ad-based, and the current highest revenue site I have is still ad-based. And so I love ads, and I love that you don't have to deal with the customers and all of that type of thing. It's way more hands-off, but I am kind of excited because I think my e-commerce site has such a high RPM. It's just very high because it only gets like 30 visits a day right now, but it's making like a few hundred a month. So it's like a very high, it's a high average order value site. And then it's the people who get there, it's a very high pain point. So that it has a higher like conversion rate and everything. And then the lead gen site, if it works, it's going to have a very high, like extremely high RPM. So I'm looking forward to that. I'll keep you updated if it ends up working out.
Oh, well, so on both of these, you're still planning to monetize with ads as well as e-commerce and the lead gen?
No, actually, the e-commerce, I'm only selling my own stuff because the RPM is so high. I don't want to be handing off to competitors. Okay. And then same with the lead gen, I wouldn't want to be handing it off. So I'm currently planning just to do e-commerce and lead gen on them. However, if someone offers to do like a fixed banner type ad on my site, I would be open on either, just because I love having that like fixed, consistent income. And maybe, you know what, now that you mention it, maybe I should, once I get more traffic on them, test putting up ads just to see, because I might not be handing off customers, but from, as we both know, ads can just add a good, consistent stream of revenue. So maybe I'll test it. I'll have to see once I get a little bit more traffic.
Yeah, you can test it. Yeah. And see what impact it has on the sales and stuff.
Yeah.
I've never done it on an e-commerce site. And I guess it depends on the ads that are coming up, right? But I've always found that people always worry about that with affiliate sites, is that, you know, it's quite funny because affiliate's quite low paying anyway compared to e-commerce, but you know, ads are even lower paying. So I've always found that adding ads to my affiliate pages, like, it doesn't impact them. Like, a lot of people will just put ads just on the info pages and not the review pages where the affiliate links are. Whenever I've added them, I've never noticed like any drop in like click-throughs for affiliate stuff. So it might be different for e-commerce, and I guess it might be depend on the niche as well. So definitely worth testing, I think.
Yeah. Oh, maybe not. I think you're right too for e-commerce, because it's also the trust factor. Like if you go to an e-commerce site and you see ads on it, it makes it a little sketchy. So I feel like maybe I wouldn't do it on the e-commerce, unless maybe on the info only pages, like you said, or something, but I can take a look at that in a few months or however, once my traffic gets up a little.
Yeah. Or it'll just be like you say, just the odd banner here or there that people rent the space. That could be okay. Yeah. Like if it's not too in your face.
True. Yeah, and even if it's like a complimentary product or something, or like a affiliate relationship with, I actually do have a few Amazon affiliates on the site just for products that I don't sell, but Amazon does, that are complimentary. So I suppose it's a semi-affiliate too, but it's not, the affiliate's not making a ton of money. So I mostly focus on the e-commerce side of it.
Yeah. So the e-commerce side, is that digital products, or is it physical products? Are you making your own products? Are you drop shipping? Like, what are you doing with that?
It's physical. It's actually in the health-based niche. It's a product that I personally have purchased a lot of the past few years, and I just knew that it was the type of product where even if I didn't have much money, I would say I'm going to allocate money toward it each month, because it was that important to me to have it. So I think that's part of its charm. And I had reached out to the seller when I was purchasing this product, and I said, can I do affiliate for you? And a few years ago, and they said, we don't do affiliate, but we do wholesale. And so I said, okay. And so then a few years later, I decided to actually, when my other site's ad revenue decreased a little bit, I was like, I should have other projects running just in case this keeps going down like all the way or something. So I can have other projects and just diversify my income streams a little bit. So I contacted them and I said, I want to do wholesale if you still offer that. And they said, yes. And so I buy it wholesale from them at a 50% discount and then sell it at their same prices to my customers. And then I order some of the products from China too. So I, the wholesale 50% is from a US supplier and they make the products and send it to me. And then the other one, some of the other complementary products are from the Chinese supplier. And those are like I get like a 75% profit margin on those. So it's higher too.
Yeah. So you're storing all these products.
Yeah. I store it just like in my closet, which I don't have much room in my little studio, but it's weird. And then you have to ship it out, which you have to pay a little bit for shipping each time. And I've had people do returns and I've had people like complain to me, but then I just do a return and a refund. So it doesn't hurt my reviews, but it is a lot more intensive in the customer service aspect. And I've actually had people once they have my phone number, like they've called me and everything, like just to talk about the product and to talk about things. Like it is kind of annoying in that way, but it's also kind of sweet when they really enjoy it. So it's interesting. It's very different from running an ad-based site or an affiliate.
Oh my God. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. That's, that's definitely not for me. I think I'd need somebody. Yeah. I don't want to be like, I guess I'm really, really passionate about the product or whatever it is. And I just love talking about it. Mm-hmm. Then I guess that'd be fine. But I just couldn't fit it in the day. Like, no, but what's your plan long term for that? Right. If you keep growing that site, you're going to need a bigger closet and then you're going to be going down to like post all these parcels all the time. Like if you've got like a longer term plan where you might get someone to help you with that, like what are you thinking?
Yeah, I looked into that right when I started. I think there are services called like picking and packing services. So if it starts getting, I think over like 10 orders a day or something, I could do one of those, I've thought about renting out one of those little storage cubes or little office cubes and hiring someone to do it for me and just ship it straight there. So I've thought of different things. So right now I've been getting like one order a week or so. I can handle going to the post office and everything, but I suppose once it ramps up a little bit, cause I am starting to see the traffic go up cause I've had the site for like a little over 6 months now. So I think it should start to ramp up a little bit more too. So I think outsourcing that at some point is going to be a good idea. As of right now, I can definitely handle one time a week.
That sounds cool. Oh, in terms of the lead gen site then, so is that like for a lead gen for a service or a product or like how does that, what kind of lead gen is it? Without repeating the niche.
Yeah. That made me think a little. I was like, what is it lead gen for? It's technically lead gen for, you get a percentage of the product that someone purchases. And they, so I guess, suppose it is lead gen for a product. It's a very, it's a larger product. So people do help sell it and educate people. So it's lead gen for the service, but also the product. It's more for the product because you get a percentage of the product's total sales and it's quite an expensive product. So it's lead gen for a product.
Okay. How do you do the tracking on like do you just tell them that you've got a lead, or and like, do you then trust them that if it converts that you'll get paid? Like, or is there some sort of system they've got built in which kind of does some sort of tracking?
It's a little interesting. Like you said, it's, you kind of have to have a little trust. Like you pass along the lead to them, and then I suppose I'm expecting them to update me when the lead closes, mm-hmm. and then to make the payment. And I can check in and I both with them and the lead and other things, but the lead's going to come to me and then I introduce it to the other company and then they finish the sale process. So, yeah. And it can be a longer sales process too. It can be like a few months. You do have to have a little bit of trust in that, but I'm hoping that they will include me and then send the commission just because they'll want to work with me and to get future business and commissions. Yeah. So if I keep sending them leads and they never send any, and there are different ways I can check in and see if they've closed, but it's also harder because then every few months I'll just have to go through and check in with the people I've referred. So I think it'll be a little trickier in that sense too. And that's part of why I like the ad based sites that we have now. Cause you get paid so regularly and you don't have to check in with anyone because Google just kind of sends you your check each month, which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember what I was going to say about the other site now, the e-commerce site, but it's about the lead gen one as well. So they're on brand new fresh domains, are they?
The e-commerce is a little over 6 months. So I've been starting to see the traffic pick up mm-hmm. and I'm hoping it'll keep doing that. And then the lead gen, this is interesting. It's actually an expired domain from Odie's. And right when I reset it up, it was getting like 30 visitors a day and it's still getting the 30 a day. But once I get fully certified, I'm going to be able to fully expand it. So I'm going to put in all the different categories and put the products on it because I'm not allowed to do that right now. And so once it's fully expanded, it's either a 10 or a 20 year old site. So it's very old. It has really good links from a bunch of government domains and a bunch of mm-hmm. super official domains. So, and it's already getting the 30 traffic a day, from organic. So I'm hoping once I fully build out the products, it's just going to really get the super relevant traffic, but also I'm hoping for at least a couple hundred a day. Just off the bat without having to optimize too much, but we'll see. Cause I suppose that's a question where you don't really know until you put it up. Cause Google could say, oh, I don't want to rank it for that type of thing. So I suppose I'm taking a little bit of a risk there.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good sign that it's getting traffic. If it's still getting traffic, then it's probably, that's a positive for sure. And you probably will find that it'll ramp up quite quick. Like at Niche Website Builders, we work with expired domains with our clients a lot. And for my own portfolio, we use expired domains a lot as well. We've had like really good success with the expired domains. I guess the only thing you probably need to, like, from what you've just said, like it sounds like you need to be a bit cautious about it, is just making sure that, you know, you're not using a domain that was something completely different before and trying to use it for something
different niche.
You need to at least be, because otherwise any of the backlinks that you have got are kind of not going to be topically relevant to what the site is today. So you just need to make sure that's the case among other things that you kind of want to check. But just from what you said there about, like, you know, will Google let it rank? Like, I think you just need to kind of make sure that there's some relevance there in the backlink profile or, you know, from what the site was previously. That's what I'd say.
Do you have any tips for me about when I'm using the expired domain? Like, what have you guys seen work, or what do you really see to be helpful when you're building those out?
When it comes to building them out, like, there's a few things that you can do kind of, but I think the main thing is kind of like making sure that you vet the domain in the first place to make sure that it's kind of we've actually got our first, I think it might be, I don't know, first or second podcast that we did is kind of 8 things to look out for when buying an expired domain. So that's kind of a good place to start for the listeners and stuff. Yeah. The second thing is that if you can kind of go back and check in Wayback Machine. Have you used Wayback Machine before?
Oh yes, yeah, I love Wayback. Yeah, so just you can see, like kind of how it was built out.
Yeah, so you can kind of check out what the pages were there in the past. You can use tools like Ahrefs to see what backlinks still exist, and then you can kind of any pages that exist that have already got a lot of backlinks, you can kind of recreate them either as they were before or kind of just recreated another page, which is kind of the same kind of thing. So you can kind of piece back together some of the site that it was before, if it's relevant for the niche that you're working in now. It doesn't have to necessarily be visible. It can be just in the sitemap, right, and gets indexed by Google. It doesn't have to be part of the navigation or anything like that necessarily, but kind of mm-hmm. you can kind of pick up some of that traffic. And of course, you want to make sure that any of those links that were coming in are either 301s to a relevant page on your site or a relevant category, or at the very least to the homepage. Otherwise, you're going to be losing a whole bunch of links when you kind of first buy, like when you first start using that expired domain, because so there's a few things like that you kind of need to make sure you want to do, really.
Yeah, awesome. I think I did pretty much a very similar strategy to that so far. So, and I think it's been getting the traffic, and I didn't include a bunch of the pages that didn't really have the links in Ahrefs, and some of them still get traffic, but then I think it goes to the site and it just goes to the homepage or it goes to the error page. So mm-hmm. I almost wonder, do you find that you include pages that still get traffic even if they didn't get links? Like, and yeah. Should I update it to include those types of pages?
Yeah. It's still do, or at least 301 again. It's like something that's relevant. Generally we kind of, links are probably the most important, but if it was getting pages, traffic as a page before, then there's kind of no harm in kind of doing that as well. Mm-hmm. We kind of do it a little bit different each time, to be honest, but if it's got more than three links to that existing page, then we try and create another version of that page of how mm-hmm. it existed before. If it's got less than three links but has some links, then we're generally trying to redirect it to like a category page or some other kind of relevant page. And if it hasn't got any links, then generally we'll just redirect it to the homepage. So you can use the plugins within WordPress, which will just redirect any 404s to the homepage, which kind of solves.
I should put that in. Yeah.
It's called like a 404 to 301 or something is the plugin's called. So it just catches. Okay. It's like a catch-all. Anything you might have missed, it just then redirects to the homepage.
Oh, awesome. That's good to know that you've had some success with your expired domains. I'll have to listen to that other podcast you mentioned, but it gives me a little hope for this one, and I've already seen it off to a pretty good start. So I hope once I fully build it out, it'll get the traffic. Because like you said, it is in a super relevant niche. So I'm hoping it'll rank. We'll see.
Yeah, it'd be a good test anyway, right?
Yeah, it's a good thing to test. Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot. We've got a lot of podcasts that are kind of, because we do a lot of expired domains. So a lot of the ones we've done already, we talk about expired domains as well. But we've had like wide range of success. Like sometimes they just take a little bit longer to get going. Always quicker than a brand new domain, but sometimes it takes a little bit longer. Sometimes it just takes off instantly. Mm-hmm. Like we are working with a client on a site just recently, and in 4 months we went from zero to over 100,000 visitors, 100,000 mm-hmm. sessions in a month. In just 4 months with an expired domain.
So wow. That did take. What was the growth each month?
It was just kind of straight line up, really, because we launched it with, I think it was 150,000 words of content.
Oh wow! Okay, so you put
and
a lot of.
And then we put another 150,000 words on, so that's 300,000 words. And then I think it might have been another hundred. I think that he's now like really investing in that, so it's like another 100,000 words, another 100,000 words. So he's recently got accepted onto Mediavine. We think he'll probably be hit like around $3,000 a month, like straight away, like with with that site in 4 months.
Wow.
And so he's like easily got the money back that he's paid us for like doing that. Well, what I will say is that we also, it was a really powerful expired domain. It was, I think it was like DR50 something.
Oh, that's pretty good.
So quite powerful. But we also redirected 3 other expired domains into it that were relevant. So it's kind of getting all of that kind of, all of the links from all of those domains. And that kind of helped raise the authority of the site as well. So it was already powerful, but we redirected more into it too.
Wow. And have you seen, so long term, do those redirections help it, like even a few years into the future? Or are those more of just an initial boost?
Yeah, because essentially it just, you know, you're increasing the backlink profile. So you started up with a certain number of backlinks. Yeah, we buy another domain and 301 redirect all of the links into that. So you're just building the link backlink profile in again and raising the authority of the site. And again, like you wouldn't want to do it too much. Like I wouldn't recommend going like too crazy on it because I think that's a flag for Google. But, you know, businesses acquire sites, you know, other businesses all the time and have got good reason to 301 sites one into the other. So and merge sites and things like that. So it's kind of a normal thing to happen on the web, but you wouldn't want to kind of end up putting like 20 redirected in like, especially in a short period of time, I'd say.
Oh, wow. That's great to hear that type of case study. Wow. They must be happy with their traffic and the growth.
Yeah, it's crazy. And we've had really good, we've got plenty of others that gets into the tens of thousands pretty quick as well. So, but then others just take, you know, after 3 or 4 months, there might only be only 2 or 3,000. It's just, it varies a little bit, but you never quite can tell. But yours will be good in that there's some that have laid dormant for a little while will tend to take a longer to kind of ramp back up. But if yours has been sitting around with traffic, sounds like you've got some sort of site on there, which means at least it's getting indexed and like Google's kind of seeing it again and it's getting, yes, it's aging its second life or whatever, you know. So it sounds like yours should be quite quick as well too. But it really varies. It's hard to tell.
Oh, interesting. Where do you guys buy your expired domains?
So we source them as well. We've got some partners that we work with. So we just built a network of contacts that kind of sell expired domains. But a lot of them also come from auction. So from GoDaddy auctions, mostly from GoDaddy. But there's other auction sites out there as well that we pick up stuff. But yeah, it's kind of quite a manual job because there's domains expiring every second of every day. So yeah, trying to sort through those and then finding the good ones is quite challenging. But then we find a few a week and then we kind of sell them on our site with a content package.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah, I'll have to take a look at what you guys sell too, because you put a ton of content on there, like 150,000 words, and that's so much.
Yeah, it is and it isn't. Like 100, like it depends how, like even if you think like 100,000 words is like if you say it's the average article size is 2,000 words, that's 50 articles. So it sounds a lot, but like it's not enormous.
50 or 100 articles, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good starting point for any site, I would think.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why we sell them with an expired domain and 100,000 words of content. Because we figure if you're going to invest in an expired domain, you might as well give it a good start. Yeah, you don't want to be investing a couple of thousand dollars in a domain and then just putting 10,000 words on it. Like,
yeah,
you're not going to see anything. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Do you guys only sell? Do you only sell expired domains with content, or do you sell some new domains with content?
Yeah, we do. We'll do fresh domains as well. So we build sites, or if you've already got a site, we'll just do content. Content and links.
Awesome.
Cool. It'd be good to dig in a little bit into kind of some of your strategies about like how you've been very successful in kind of building and kind of growing your sites. Clearly one of your like strategies is kind of changing the ad network over. It's kind of one of the first things you kind of look at, or adding some more ad placements and things. But when it comes to, so you started some new sites as well, haven't you? So we talked a little bit about that, but in terms of once you've bought a site, how do you decide what you're going to do next to kind of work on it? Once you flipped out, once you changed the ads or had to modify the ads, like what's like the next step? Take us through kind of what your thought process is for, presumably you go through that thought process before you buy it and you kind of think, okay, this is how I'm going to kind of grow this site. So what is it? What's the sort of things you kind of look out for and how do you go through that process in your head?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So first I'll look at the RPM of the site and just what it's currently making with the ads, and then figure out if I'm going to add more ads or the ad placement or switching the ad network, like you were talking about, like what are the quick wins we can just kind of increase the revenue. And I've had a lot of success with switching ad networks, putting two ad networks, like just adding an ad network, adding like sponsored banner ads and that type of thing, which I love just being able to increase the revenue pretty quickly without doing much work or without it taking much time. So those are always the most fun, like quick wins that I think a lot of people enjoy seeing. And then I also look at, I like to have sites that have the higher RPM because I've owned those types of sites, including my most successful site. And the third site I actually bought had such a low RPM. This site was getting millions of page views every month. It had tons of traffic, but the RPM was very, very low because it was only making 1,000 a month, even at its peak. So I think the RPM was like 30 cents to like a dollar. So it just wasn't really performing in that sense. But I like to find, so after having that experience with like the low RPM sites and the higher RPM sites, I've always, now I gravitate toward higher RPM, both in the sites I create, really researching that, and the ones you buy, making sure that they have the higher RPM, because if you're going to put the effort into growing the page views and the visits, why not have it be higher revenue page views and visits? Because it's going to take effort to grow it anyway. So in that plays into niche selection with all of the sites that I have. And when you're doing the research, I usually check to see what I use, do an Ahrefs search to see for competitor domains in that niche to see what they're ranking for and to see which, if there are a lot of keywords left to target and see how competitive that is, to see if the competitors have a higher DA than you and are ranking for those types of keywords. And then also to see what the market cap on those keywords is, like how much search volume can you potentially get. And so I like to use the Google Keyword Planner too to see, like, just brainstorm a list of all the keywords in that niche that aren't currently on that site, and then just see what the potential keyword volume would be, and then use that into the decision. So then when I purchase the site, I like to use that keyword research list and then also do more in-depth keyword research and then make like a Excel sheet that has a content plan with just the keywords that I want to target. And then I usually start with the keywords that have the most volume potential and then just kind of work through that content plan. And then also look at the current keywords it's ranking for. And so I like to see if there's any way to like quickly boost those keywords. So I found one way to do this is if you go into the Google Search Console, you see the keywords that are ranking like lower on page one, like 5 to 10, or on page two. And then if they have higher volume, you can do some internal linking to boost the volume for those types, or put them in the menu as well. So I found those types of things can often help you just get more traffic with the site. And so those are some of my main like keyword traffic boosting strategies.
Yeah. I think internal linking is great. Like, I think it's one of the most undervalued, kind of such easy things to do. Like, it's a free backlink at the end of the day.
And
You're getting link juice flowing around your site all the time. If you can pass some of that to those pages, then you're going to get a boost. So yeah.
Do you guys do a lot of internal linking on your expired domains before passing to clients?
So any Yeah, I mean, any page that we kind of create on a site will be, you know, you need to, yeah, we'll make sure it's got some links coming to it from somewhere else on the site. It's not an orphan page.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, we do that kind of, it's just a matter of course. Like, we don't even, I mean, retrospectively, you can do kind of what you said and kind of go bottom of the bottom first page, second page, and kind of see what needs a boost. And maybe that's external links or maybe it's internal links. But, yeah, we'll do internal linking to make sure every page isn't orphaned and this, every page has got some incoming inbound links coming to them. Yeah. Cool. And I think I was going to ask you another question, but I kind of forgot kind of where we're at. But yeah, like, so yeah, so that's like a good tips there, I think, for how you come up with those things. So in terms of like content creation, like, do you write all of your content yourself or do you have writers or what's, how do you work with that?
I actually do. I write all my content myself, and that's why I probably thought your 50 to 100 articles are a lot of content. I was like, oh, that would take like, because I only write like an article a day or something, or sometimes even less. Honestly, I'll just let sites run on autopilot. So I, because I like to focus on other aspects of the business other than just content. And sometimes once I have a site built out with all the keywords I want it to rank for, I'll just focus on the rankings of those as opposed to adding more and more. And I know there's so many different strategies in that adding even the lower volume keywords can really help a site. But I personally just like to write the content because I find it's higher quality, first of all, than if you're going to outsource it. And I found that sometimes when I have low quality articles, they don't even get a chance to rank, or they'll show on page one for a week or something, and then Google will decide that they have too high of a bounce rate or something, and they just won't, and then they'll drop off the rankings. So I think that's something that I've just seen, because I mean, I have outsourced a little content, and I think maybe I just didn't have as good of a process. Like, I'm sure you guys have good writers and a good process and good cost efficiency, but for me, it just wasn't. So I found that me writing it was better in terms of cost efficiency, but also in terms of quality. And I just saw the most success with doing fewer articles, but better articles for my sites. And then even like, I don't have that many articles. Like, I think my biggest site only has like 300 articles on it. So I'm not one to build out like 1,000 page sites. I just like to focus on the keywords that, like, the top few hundred keywords that are the most relevant for each site, although I think that is one area I could definitely work on, and I'm not opposed to that in the future, especially if I got a better process, or maybe if I outsourced it to someone like you guys. I don't know if you outsource content production as well. I think you mentioned that, but
yeah we do. Yeah I mean, we the reason we started the agency was because we found the same thing. Like, we couldn't find, you know, we tried all of the agencies out there and kind of never got what we wanted. Was never the, you know, the quality that we wanted. Hiring your own writers is just a minefield and just takes ages and is a headache, and just finding a good one and then keeping hold of a good one, and you might find a good one, but they're not reliable. It's just, so Adam and I just started our own team to work on our own portfolios and then kind of just started offering it out to other people. And it seemed like, yeah, we weren't the only ones that we're interested in that because we do the full end-to-end, like the keyword research, the uploading, inserting affiliate links, all of that too. So cool. So just before we kind of wrap up, like, in terms of link building, do you ever do any link building purposefully, or do you wait for organic links, or like, yeah, do you do any kind of link building or outreach for your sites?
So I do my internal linking, and then I've actually seen success when I've had multiple sites in the same or similar niches to do linking from my own site to my other site, but I try not to do reciprocal. I try to just do linking from one of the sites to the one I would rather have be ranking. And I've seen that be really successful too. And then I also do link outreach. So I tend to try to write guest posts in the niche and get links from that for the site just to build up its brand name authority. And then I also do a lot of Haro. So I do the Haro outreach to get the links to build the authority. And I found all of those things really help grow my site's domain authority. And then they also help grow the rankings. And it's just like a consistent thing over time. Although it takes, I think, building a site's authority, it takes like quite a while, I think, which is why buying expired domains is kind of a fun shortcut, because it can take years to really get a site to like a 50 or a domain where it can really be an authority and start ranking for a lot of keywords.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Awesome. So what's the plan for you over the next couple of years? Are you planning on doing the same thing? And are you going to move? But are you, in terms of business, are you planning on just building out more sites, increasing the size of your portfolio, working on new sites, new businesses? Like, what's your plan?
Yeah, great question. I actually really want to keep building the HerSEO brand. And that's one reason I want to restart the podcast too, because I have a podcast on that site. So maybe I'll have you guys on at some point, or you come over and talk about some of your case studies. I also, I want to really grow the sites that I'm creating. So the e-commerce one and the lead gen one. Personally, I think that multiples have really soared over the past few years, especially like they're just so high that, as we were talking about, I like buying sites at like a 10 times multiple or 20 times. Like, I'm just not used to the 30 to 65 times, because then it's just, there's so much risk, because if you don't make it back in that time period, then there's just a lot more risk involved if it's a higher multiple, because you might not make it back and due to things outside your control. So I do like buying sites at lower multiples. So if I can find some good expired deals, I actually am not opposed to buying sites, but I think I might buy a few more expired domains and build sites, and then also build them from scratch. I kind of like that approach, because it's a lot more cost effective. And as you said, you guys have seen success from it too, which is kind of cool. So I think I'm going to keep running a portfolio of sites, including my current sites and the two new ones we were talking about, and the HerSEO brand. So I kind of have quite a few just sites I want to keep humming along and growing and building into their own brand and authority. I don't really see myself in the near future moving away from owning and growing websites, because I've seen them be so profitable, especially compared to other investment types and just different types of businesses you can create. And I actually bought a duplex recently too in Austin, Texas, just outside of it. So I am starting to grow my portfolio in other ways, so I can not be completely dependent on websites for my entire life, but definitely I don't see that those going out of my life in the near future. I love growing sites still, and I love working for myself. So I'll keep you updated with the HerSEO site if you sign up for the email list, and all the listeners can sign up too if they want to stay tuned how my new sites go and how the current ones go as well.
Yeah, I'm already signed up. So
you signed up. Awesome.
Do you want to tell the audience a little bit about HerSEO and tell us a little bit more about kind of what your plans are there and what you're doing there at the moment?
Yeah, definitely. So HerSEO, it's a site for website owners and entrepreneurs and marketers, anyone who wants to learn how to grow their own website or grow their own business, and different tips based on my experience and case studies and my readers and listeners' case studies and experiences. I like just pulling them all together and sharing them with people and looking at the landscape and just sharing my thoughts. I actually don't send out too many emails, but you just signed up, so you'll get the autoresponder. I have like 5 emails set up in there, I think. So you'll get a nice little flow for the next few weeks. And I definitely don't spam. I only send out super interesting or good things. And also I have a website investing waitlist where I only send out website type deals if you're interested in purchasing a site. And the site itself has some information and case studies. You can check it out to see my past journeys, past sites I've owned or purchased. And I definitely will keep updating that as well. So it's just meant to be a resource to help people. And I think Both Mark and I were inspired by Spencer's blog. So I think it's fun to have a blog that can hopefully inspire other people to follow their dreams and to grow their businesses, which is the goal of Hercio.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, we should maybe talk to you another time as well about how you kind of get your deal flow with the buying and selling sites. And yeah, that'd be kind of interesting as well, I think. Okay, well, yeah, anywhere else that our audience should go to find you, or is that the best place?
I think that's the best place. And they can send me an email at stacy@her.co as well if they want to reach out. And then I'm on Twitter too at stacy and then the number 4 and then startups. So like Stacy for Startups, that was like my first freelancing thing. So Stacy for Startups is I'm over on Twitter, and you can shoot me an email too at stacy@hercio. And those are, yeah, I'll definitely, I reply to email every few days and everything. So I'll say hi to anyone who reaches out.
Awesome. Okay, well, thanks for your time, Stacy. Really appreciate you coming on the show. And yeah, good luck with your plans going forward.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Mark. This was so fun. And I'll have to take a look at all your sites that you're selling to in case there are any that catch my eye.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, Stacy.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks again for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed the show. If you're listening to the podcast version of this episode, please subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please rate and review, as this will allow us to grow our audience and create more shows like this one. If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel and click on the bell to be the first to know about any new episodes that we release. Until the next episode, goodbye.